Okay, welcome everybody to April 12th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. And for the next 5 minutes, we will talk about America. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We will begin, as we do every day, with the Pledge of Allegiance. So everybody stand up, face your flags, right hand on the hearts. And let's begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. Okay, so moving on to today's program. FDR passes on.
Plus, the U.S. will fall behind in the space race again.
And Rock Around the Clock is recorded. All right, so now let's do this. 1945. So Americans didn't know that President Roosevelt's health was rapidly deteriorating. So you can imagine how shocked the world was when he died. A couple months before that, he looked good. Earlier, he had flown to Egypt and met with King Farouk I and Haile Selassie, Emperor of Ethiopia. He had a historic meeting on February 14th with King Abdulaziz, the founder of Saudi Arabia. In fact, the James McGregor Burns 1956 article in the Easton Press titled Roosevelt mentioned that the meeting is believed to impact America's relationship with Saudi Arabia to this day. FDR spoke with American ambassadors to Britain, France, and Italy, and at Yalta, Lord Moran, who is Winston Churchill's physician, spoke on Roosevelt's ill health, saying that he looked like a dying man. FDR returned to the United States, addressed Congress, and opened his speech by saying, "I hope that you will pardon me for this unusual posture of sitting down during the presentation of what I want to say, but it makes it a lot easier for me not to have to carry about 10 pounds of steel around on the bottom of my legs." In March, he accused Russian leader Joseph Stalin of breaking his Yalta commitments over Poland, Germany, prisoners of war, and other issues. Stalin accused the Western allies of plotting a separate peace with Hitler behind his back, okay? And FDR said, quote, "I cannot avoid a feeling of bitter resentment towards your informers, whoever they are, for such vile misrepresentations of my actions or those of my trusted subordinates." The Squire of Hyde Park Roosevelt went back to Warm Springs, Georgia to rest before his next conference. And on April 12th, he was sitting for a portrait painting when he said, "I have a terrific pain in the back of my head." And he collapsed, having a massive cerebral hemorrhage, and was pronounced dead at 3:35 that day. Harry Truman had flags at half-mast for 30 days. The New York Times said, "Men will thank God on their knees 100 years from now that Franklin D. Roosevelt was in the White House."
1961, U.S. falls behind in the space race again. Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, engineered by Sergei Korolev, was able to pull off this amazing feat which embarrassed the United States. A month later, President JFK would announce America would be sending a man to the moon like a boss, but for now, while the Soviet Union was already on at least its third victory lap around the racetrack of space, John Fitzgerald Kennedy and the United States were still in the locker room, getting jerseys on and doing warm-up exercises, wondering why we have to play this stupid game instead of doing something else like invade Cuba. Back when Jack was a senator in Massachusetts before becoming president, he and brother Bobby once met at a restaurant in Boston during the 1950s with MIT professor and aerospace engineer Charles Draper to discuss space exploration, and the Kennedy brothers basically scoffed at Professor Draper. Jack was much more interested in political victories than space. Fast forward to this day in 1961, when Gagarin launched in his console from space in Kazakhstan, blasted into orbit, went around Earth, and parachuted back safely onto Earth. Kennedy realized then it was time to get out of the locker room and start racing. Jack praised Gagarin and his achievements, quote, "It is my sincere desire that the continuing quest for knowledge of outer space, our nations can work together to obtain the greatest benefit to mankind," unquote. However, working together would not be an option with Nikita Khrushchev, who in June of 1961 denied President Kennedy's request, insisting on mutual weapons disarmament. Luckily, VP Lyndon Johnson was an advocate for winning the space race already and met with Wernher von Braun and other space engineers to discuss the logistics of getting a man on the moon and back to Earth safely. JFK tried once more with Khrushchev to form an alliance to win the space race together, and this time Khrushchev agreed. 2 months later, Kennedy was assassinated, and that alliance came to a halt along with it. But in 1969, Neil Armstrong and the crew would fly through conspiracy theories around the racetrack of space to win it all. USA! USA! USA!
Finally, 1954 in rock and roll news, Bill Haley and the Comets record We're Gonna Rock Around the Clock. By the way, the guitarist only got paid $31 for that song. Crazy, right? So, Rock Around the Clock is not the first rock record, nor is it the first popular rock record. It is credited for bringing rock and roll into the mainstream, however. It was a B-side to 13 Women and Only One Man in Town. It almost just fizzled away. It only sold 75,000 copies. But actor Glenn Ford was getting ready to star in Blackboard Jungle and was looking for a song that embodied the 50s rebellious youth attitude. And his 10-year-old son Petey suggested to use it. Rebellious? Yeah.
And that is all, my friends, for April 12th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristofaro. Check out my website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's show. FDR fans, do you know why he was nicknamed the Squire of Hyde Park? Or what about that space race? How would you have handled everything if you were Kennedy? Rock and roll fans, how do you think that rock around the clock changed culture in America? Or around the world for that matter? So let me know what you think. I've got a comment board just for that. I also have some multiple choice quizzes if you want to take a shot at those. Now moving on to tomorrow's program. Well, it's Thomas Jefferson's birthday. The news of the firing on Fort Sumter hits the headlines. Plus, news about Tiger Woods, Aerosmith, Massachusetts, and more. So until then, you can hit me up on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone.